Taking His Name Upon Us by Julie Cannon Markham. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. This scripture jumped out at me as I was preparing a lesson on the book of Revelation. I thought that perhaps there were in the ancient church in Sardis members who should have been carrying in their hearts the name of the one who lived, but instead had become dead to his lifestyle. To me it meant that these people called themselves Christians, but were in fact spiritually lifeless. I contemplated how essential worthiness is to those professing to be called Christian. A week earlier in Sunday school, our gospel doctrine teacher had touched on Alma's concept of receiving the image of God in our countenances. See Alma chapter 5, verses 14 and 19. This had reminded me of an excerpt in Revelation I had been studying, which spoke of those who overcome. Him that overcometh will I write upon him the name of my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. I realized that sincerely taking the name of Christ upon us should cause us to make significant changes in our lives. Alma described this as having a mighty change in our hearts. See Alma chapter 5, verse 14. These ideas were running through my head as I prepared my lesson. I wondered how often the concept of unworthily taking the name of Christ appeared in the standard works. I went to the scriptures on my computer and did a search of all verses that contained both the words take and name. Much to my surprise, the first scripture that appeared on my screen was Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Suddenly, the significance of what I was contemplating filled me with astonishment. I had previously understood that the meaning of this commandment was not to abuse the name of deity. While this interpretation was not incorrect, to me it was now no longer complete. To take upon myself the name of Jesus Christ while not striving to make the necessary changes in my life through repentance was not only a misuse of the Savior's name, but a grave sin. I saw it as mocking God. That afternoon, during the prelude music for sacrament meeting, I looked for my 16-year-old son. I saw him sitting at the sacrament table with two other priests, one of whom had recently joined the church. I realized that this new member would bless the sacrament for the first time, and I wondered if he was nervous. After the sacrament hymn, I carefully listened to this newly ordained priest as he read the words of the prayer over the bread. As he said the words, "They are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him and keep his commandments which he has given them," my heart pounded. Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 77. I was about to renew my covenant to take upon myself the name of Christ. Was I worthy? I reflected on the third commandment, which had taken on a new meaning for me. Could my partaking of the sacrament be construed by the Lord or anyone else as mocking God? I thought painstakingly of my actions during recent weeks. Was I worthy to take upon myself the name of Jesus Christ? Was the image of God in my countenance? Was I deserving of the label Christian? Or was I like the members referenced in ancient Sardis, spiritually dead? For the first time in my life, I realized that thoughtlessly taking upon ourselves the name of Jesus Christ is not right and could even be sinful. Partaking of the sacrament took on a whole new meaning for me. I have a weekly opportunity to contemplate my actions, my behavior, my intents, and desires. As I take upon myself the name that livest, I must honestly seek not to be spiritually dead. The following paintings, photographs, and captions accompany this article. On page 38, and continuing through the first three columns of page 39, the caption reads, "Christ and his disciples shared the Passover in an upper room in Jerusalem, and Christ took the cup and gave thanks." Luke chapter 22, verse 17. At the top of the right-hand column, on page 39, a photograph labeled "A Silver-Plated Sacrament Tray Used About 1870. Page 40. Above left. Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. Below that picture, and extending into page 41, Pioneer Sacrament Service Artifacts. The silver-plated cups were used about 1890, and the tray and pitcher were used about 1870. Page 41, upper right-hand corner. Jesus riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. Page 42. A painting of Jesus breaking bread. Take, eat, this is in remembrance of my body. Joseph Smith translation, Matthew chapter 26, verse 22. Page 43. Upper right-hand corner. Sacrament tray made in 1944 by 23 LDS soldiers on board the USS Intrepid using nickel-plated 20-millimeter shell casings as sacrament cups. Background on both pages 42 and 43, showing behind the pictures already described, a crocheted wall hanging of the Last Supper. Background above, Pioneer silver-plated sacrament tray. Right center, after 1957, sacrament trays were made with four tubes to hold used cups. Lower right, created after World War II, these round aluminum sacrament trays were stackable, making them convenient in wards and branches that had limited space on the sacrament table. Gospel topics. Sacrament, taking the name of Jesus Christ. Note, Julie Cannon Markham teaches early morning seminary in the Morristown Ward, Morristown, New Jersey Stake. End of note. End of article, Taking His Name Upon Us, by Julie Cannon Markham.